We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order. A new world order.
Child sex trafficking.
The deep state is trying to destroy Donald Trump's presidency.
Loose the battle plans of heaven.
It's all about control.
Broadcasting live to the world now, it's the Weekend Vigilante, Sheila Zielinski.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of the Sheila Zielinski Show. I'm so glad you could tune into the program today. Well, you're in for a treat, too, because I have an awesome guest. Now, before I get into the program, I want to remind you to go to my website and follow me on Twitter and like my Weekend Vigilante Facebook page, because I'm going to be announcing the winner of the True Legends Grand Prize giveaway. The contest is over, and I'm going to be making the announcement of that draw a week from tomorrow. So that's next Friday, June 30th. I'm going to be making the announcement. I'm really excited to find out who the winner is, and I'm going to be announcing that on my show next Friday. So make sure that you're following me on Twitter for sure, because I'm going to be announcing it on Twitter and my Weekend Vigilante Facebook page as well. So make sure that you are following that. And I post a lot of the shows, and occasionally I'm going to be posting stuff on social media that is not even available on the podcast. So make sure that you are subscribed to YouTube, follow me on Twitter, and like my Weekend Vigilante page. All of that information you can find over there at weekendvigilante.com. Hey, listen, another thing, I want everyone to go back and listen to the June 15th program for 30 days. That's right, until July 15th, we are running the Patreon campaign. Because this ministry is listener supported, I'm asking everyone to do a couple of dollars a month, $2, $3, $5, and some people have the means to do a lot more. Go to my website and a banner will come up the first couple seconds. You click on it and voila. Now, very quickly, I had to change the dollar pledge because all these guys take their little, they take their share. Make sure that I stay on the air. Go back and listen to the June 15th show. Again, this is a listener-supported show. The June 15th show is really important. That show is called Is Sheila Going Off Air? In 30 days, we'll see. Let's hope the Weekend Vigilante is not silenced, because this is an important show. So go over to weekendvigilante.com and please do check that out. Well, like I said, you are in for a treat, because I have one of the big generals of deliverance. He is a good friend of the program, and it is a pleasure to have him back on a subject, a little bit different of an angle of a subject that's really been on my heart. And I cannot wait, and I'll let him tell you about that. It is the one and only, the general himself, Ivory Hopkins, from pilgrimsministry.org. It is Apostle Ivory Hopkins. Welcome to the show, sir. It is a pleasure to have you back on. I'm just going to hand you the mic, and you do this teaching that you're doing today, sir. Take it away.
Well, God bless you, my dear sister. It is good to be back waging war along with you. You know, I always feel like I'm with a Deborah type of warrior. You prophetically speak it loud and strong. I know you upset and make a whole lot of people uncomfortable, but truth has that habit, doesn't it? It's good to be back with you today, and we're going to be talking about breaking the threefold cord of anger, bitterness, and unforgiveness. And we want to delve into that real deep and get some prayer and freedom for us. And the reason why I say us, because this here is one of those repeaters. You can get your heart good and cleansed. You can get your life walking in a good place with God. And then some issues will come up that reactivates, restores, and sometimes replants in your life new things, or plants in your life new strongholds that you have to pull down. Breaking the threefold cord of anger, bitterness, and unforgiveness. These three are capable of opening tremendous doors of bondage. Now, I'll say this to you, Sheila, when I begin to minister to people about dealing with deliverance and getting healing, I always start at first base. And that first base is the bitterness and the anger and the unforgiveness that dwells in our heart. Now, I do a lot of deliverance counseling through Skype and what have you. I do major conferences. I just got back from Whittier, California, probably ministering to 1,000 strong each night. We had a teams of deliverance Saturday. We had teams of deliverance ministries up, and God was delivering people all over the place. But the one thing I always start with is asking the Holy Spirit. Now, listen to me, listeners. You cannot, in all actuality, forgive anyone by using human strength or human will. You can say it all you want to. And my will, I will to do this without the strength of the Holy Spirit. You cannot do it. It takes the Holy Spirit. It takes the power of God to be invited into the issue. Whoever it is that you are angry at, bitter at, or hold unforgiveness towards, it takes the Holy Spirit to bring the strength to you to be able to release it and let it go. Now, here's what I'm not talking about to make myself quite clear before I jump into Ephesians 4 and 26. I'm not talking about the simple emotion of anger. Now, there is the emotion of anger that God created in us. Certain things, if people do us a certain way, treat us a certain way, we should be angry. Matter of fact, I tell people when someone has done things that should have made anybody mad, anybody disturbed, and you say, praise God, I'm just fine. Thank you, Jesus. Everything's good. I'm blessed, and you're blessed, and everybody's blessed. Stop lying. You're not. You need to go on and stop being religious, stop faking it, and say, look, what happened to me has made me angry. The person that molested me, the person that used me, the person that abused me, the person that left me for the other woman, left me for the other man, the person that duped me out of my finances and put me and my entire family in trouble, I'm angry at them, I'm bitter, and I hate them. And when you go to the Lord with this issue, we need to go to him and say, you know, Lord, what Sam or Sheila or Gail or Willie done to me, I'm angry. God, I can't let it go. Father, I have tried. I've asked you to forgive me, Lord. And I know according to your word, the Bible says that we are to forgive our debtors as we are forgiven our debts, unless we be turned over to the tormentors. And the tormentors is demonic powers, yes, demons that come in by unforgiveness and rebellion and bitterness. Also, amen, the tormentors are the emotional bondage that couples with not allowing the Holy Spirit to come into the area of bitterness, anger, and unforgiveness. So what we're going to do at the top of this show, is pray along with me, real short. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I ask you to set my heart to be able to hear from your Holy Spirit where I need to welcome the Holy Spirit into the area of my life where I am angry, bitter, and I'm holding unforgiveness. Holy Spirit, you will reveal to me clearly the person, the places, and the things that happen. And Lord God, I'm asking your Holy Spirit, I'm welcoming him. It's my will, Father, to do what your word says. So I ask your Holy Spirit to come in and help me to perform your word. In Jesus' name, I repent. In Jesus' name, I welcome the Holy Spirit in. In Jesus' name, I welcome the blood of Jesus Christ to break every demonic bondage related to anger, bitterness, and unforgiveness. And Father, I thank you for it, and I command all spirits related to it, all deception and confusion related to it, to let me go now and command them to come out in Jesus' name. Now, as we're preaching, amen, it's going to be even more clear. So we're going to take this ride. It's going to be an exciting ride of breaking the threefold cord of anger, bitterness, and unforgiveness. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 is the first verse I'm going to start with. Paul, talking to believers, he was telling them not to give place to the enemy. And listen to what he says here. Ephesians 4, 26. Be ye angry and sin not. Now listen to what it's saying. Paul here is telling the Ephesian church that when you get angry, when you deal with the emotion of anger, be angry, but sin not. In other words, do not allow anger to overpower you so much until you enter into the sin of anger, bitterness, and unforgiveness. Anger by itself is an emotion. But anger coupled with longevity, holding it in your heart for a long time, it turns into unforgiveness and bitterness, which opens the door to spirits that will go by that same name. When I encounter people with spirits of anger, bitterness, and unforgiveness, my dear friend, the demon that entered in by that name got in by the emotion not being offered up to God is, and welcoming the Holy Spirit to help you deal with the situation. Undealt with anger, even anger that you're trying to say, I don't feel it when it's there, can open the door to spirits of deception, and that anger will start turning all kinds of ways. It can turn into a demonic spirit and presence that goes by the name of anger, or the anger can turn into a physical manifestation, where because of the anger, because of the bitterness, because of the unforgiveness, you start having sickness, stress, emotional problems, deep wounds. Why? All based on the anger that you sinned with, and you let the sun go down on your wrath. This here, be ye angry and sin not, and let not the sun go down on your wrath. The Apostle Paul was basically saying, when you get angry, deal with it in a mannerly time. Do not allow it to fester. Do not allow it to get under your skin. Do not allow it to go unaddressed in welcoming the Holy Spirit into that area, or else the enemy will use it as a place. Now, let me tell you about this word place. It says, neither give place to the devil. Now, watch this. Watch this. When I allow anger, bitterness, and unforgiveness to dwell in my heart, when I allow it, when I don't deal with it in repentance, deal with it and ask the Holy Spirit to heal me, deal with it and being quite clear with God. God, I'm angry. God, I'm bitter. Lord, I hold unforgiveness against so-and-so, and it's overtaking my emotions. I hate them when I see them. The mention of their name sets me in a fit. You need to put that before God and ask His Holy Spirit to come in, or else it will give place to the devil. Now, the word place here is a Hebrew word called topaz. It means give it an occupancy, a location, a position, a license, and even a room in your life. Now, what am I saying? Amen. Anger, unforgiveness, and bitterness can give the enemy a place. So when we're dealing with strongholds, the enemy uses anger, bitterness, and unforgiveness to find occupancy in your life. What has happened is, where you were once free, where you once had liberty, the anger opens the door to a spirit of anger, opens the door to a spirit of bitterness, opens the door to a spirit of unforgiveness, and it changes your whole personality. Sometimes I say this, Sheila, people don't do what they do because they have demons. They often get demons because of what they're doing. Demons wait for us. They hate human beings. They wait for us to give them a place in our lives. Amen. Now, let me go on a little bit further and work on this even more so I'm having fun. Now, when you look at the scripture in Hebrews 12:15, it says, looking diligently, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness bring up, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Many of our lives are defiled by anger, bitterness, and unforgiveness, and it becomes a root. Now, if anything that is a root has stuff growing to it. In other words, if I was just to start whacking at the limbs of a tree, saying, I'm going to cut this tree down, but all I'm doing is knocking apples off the branch, cutting off some of the limbs around the branch of the apple tree. Guess what would happen next year? Next year, those arms would still grow out, and the fruit would keep manifesting. Guess what happens in our life? Unless we lay the axe of the word to the root of bitterness, to the root of unforgiveness, to the root of anger, it will cause fruit to start growing. Now, what is the fruit of bitterness? Hatefulness, vengeance, retaliation, amen, harsh words, mean personality. Instead of the fruit of the Spirit manifesting in your life, the fruit and nature of the undealt with emotion of anger that demons use to manifest their spirit. And what happens with the Holy Spirit, in Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit grows by the work of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit in our life grows by allowing the Holy Spirit to become the source out of our belly, where the root of my spirit man is the candle of the Lord. That's the root where the Holy Spirit occupies. So when the Holy Spirit is in there, He produces the God kind of fruit: gentleness, peace, loving, forbearing, goodness, faith, and temperance. But when anger and bitterness and unforgiveness is allowed to grow, its root begins to start springing up. Then comes revenge, murder, anger, hatred. And you know what the unique thing about when bitterness gets in your heart? You want everybody else to join the game. In other words, I once said this, Sheila, how does anger and unforgiveness and bitterness become a generational curse? I'm glad you asked. when we as a people start pulling other people's lives in our family into the hatred and unforgiveness and bitterness. That's right. You could take a child, a brand new baby. We just got a brand new baby, 4 years old. Her name is Aviana. Now, it's interesting watching my granddaughter, Aviana, grow. But if we took Aviana and taught Aviana to hate or dislike the same people me and Evelyn have issues with, let's say I hated someone that I would not ask the Holy Spirit to help me to get over it. I had anger and bitterness and unforgiveness in my heart. Let's say I took that anger, that bitterness and retaliation, and I taught Aviana, my four-year-old granddaughter, I taught her, you see that person over there? They've always been against your grandparents. They don't like our family. Or that person is not the good side of the family. You don't pull with them. I know they're your first cousins, but you have nothing to do with them because you see, I don't like them, so you shouldn't. Do you know what, Sheila? Aviana would for a while, as long as she's young and naive, as long as Aviana is not discerning, I could actually teach my four-year-old granddaughter to hate who I hate, to be bitter towards who I'm bitter at. And what would happen to Aviana is she would get a generational stronghold of my unforgiveness, of my bitterness, of my anger that has been passed by her grandfather, now it's passed through her, so now it has come to me, the first generation, now to the third generation. Now you get it, Sheila? Why? Listen here. I say it because after I taught her to hate, and her daddy, which is my son, he got older and he's thinking for himself. Now her daddy may say, well, you know what, Pop don't like so-and-so, and I'm not just going to do that. The Bible told me that whosoever is angry with anybody without a cause is in danger of hell fire. I'm not going to hate who you hate, Dad. I'm not going to hold bitterness on who you hold bitterness towards. Dad, I'm not going to hold unforgiveness towards who you hold unforgiveness to. But oh, if I could get little Aviana over here, and if I could teach Aviana at 4 years old, knows no Bible, no scriptures, I could defile my third generation, by me a generation, my son a generation, my granddaughter, which would be the second generation down from myself. I could put that into her heart, and she could pick up a spirit of bitterness, of anger, and unforgiveness. Let me ask you a question. In your life, and listening to me on this broadcast, is the anger and the bitterness and the unforgiveness that you have, is it yours, or is it a generational stronghold? Is it something that y'all were taught? Is it something that always ran in your family so you find yourself disliking the same people, person, or culture? Have you in the family been taught inadvertently by actions of your generation before you to hold unforgiveness and bitterness and anger towards the same people they do? If that is the case, you, my dear friend, are dealing with a generational curse of unforgiveness, anger, and bitterness. But praise be to God, well, I got good news to say. Hallelujah. Through the indwelling work of the Holy Spirit, you can be free. But you got to call it what it is. I like to tell people, I say this in all of my deliverance conferences, if you got a stronghold, own it. Admit you have it so you can deal with it. As long as you put it off to someone else or not call it what it is, you will not get freedom. Demons get license in our life when we lie about what our real strongholds are. Are you hearing? Now listen to this. In the book of James chapter 3, verse 14, 15, and 16. That's James chapter 3, verses 14, 15, and 16. And I'm going to read from the King James Version of the Bible. Looking at this, what it says here. James 3, 14. If you have bitter envy and strife in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth. Got that? Verse 15. James 3, 15. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is first earthly, sensual, and devilish. Verse 16, for where envy and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. Now, I want you to watch this. In this particular verse, you're going to see the descent of the bondage of envy, bitter envy, and strife in your heart. First of all, bitterness, anger, and unforgiveness dwells in the heart. The word heart is cardia, where we get the word seat of the emotions. So where does the enemy occupy that area? Your spirit man is indwelled by the Holy Spirit. But your emotional man, your carnal man, the heart, the cardia, the seat of the emotions is where the enemy builds his stronghold of anger, bitterness, and unforgiveness. So if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts. Glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but it is first earthly, sensual, and devilish. Now watch this. For where envy and strife is, get it? Where envy and strife is, there is confusion. So if I was playing deliverance here, Sheila, when I begin to come against envy and strife, I'm sure going to find also the spirit of confusion and every evil work. Now I'm going on to the next one here. This is what it says here, reading this in the Living Bible. I'm going to read this in the Living Bible. And that's verses 14 and 15. Watch this. By all means, don't brag about being wise and good if you are bitter and jealous and selfish. For this is the worst sort of lie. Watch this, verse 15, the Living Bible. For jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. But such things are, watch this, earthly, unspiritual, inspired by devils. Not like that. The Living Bible, I like that. Now I'm usually a King James brother. Now I tell you straight up, I'm usually a KJ brother. But I like using other translations at times. But in this verse here, the Living Bible says that this kind of wisdom, such things are earthly, they are unspiritual, and inspired by devils. So when we allow anger, bitterness, and unforgiveness to fester in our heart, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but it is earthly. The word earthly means worldly. Just like the world, you're acting just like the world. We are acting like the world when we operate and let our lives be ruled by unforgiveness, bitterness, and anger. Also, it is unspiritual, meaning we straight up carnal. That's right. That means we are carnal like the Corinthian church. The Corinthian church was gifted, but carnal as they ever wanted to be. Also, it says it is inspired by devils. Sheila, when we as believers allow anger and bitterness and unforgiveness to dwell in our hearts, it is directly inspired by the devil. It came straight from hell. To leave that undealt with, not dealing with it in repentance, not asking the Holy Spirit to come in and heal us from that area, not calling it what it is, it was inspired by devils. Oh, I'm a deliverance man. I tell you, I can't help it. Well, I love it. Amen. When I say something is inspired by devils, I love saying it. And one translation, Sheila says, it is demonic. It is worldly, it is carnal, and demonic. That's what one translation says. So rest assured, if these things dwell in our heart, what happens is it becomes demonic. Now, the root of bitterness, anger, and unforgiveness can and will give demons access to your life through non-resistance. In other words, if we do not resist it, it will open the door to demons. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30 says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption. I believe that when we do not ask the Holy Spirit into areas of our life of anger, bitterness, and unforgiveness, we grieve the Holy Spirit. And this word here, grieve, means to cause, to make one feel heavy or full of sorrow. Got that? In other words, the Holy Spirit's inside of us. See, Sheila, when I first got saved, sister, we learned strong about the Holy Spirit. I didn't learn about Leviathan, Behemoth. I didn't learn about Jezebel. I didn't learn about all these demons. I know how to cast out 10,000 demons, but my foundation was built upon learning how the Holy Spirit operates in my life, learning how the Holy Spirit, according to the Word of God, operates in my spirit man. And I was ever conscious that the things that I did with my body, which is the temple of God, the things that I did with my mouth, the things I did with my heart, the things that I allowed in my life would grieve the Holy Spirit that dwells in my spirit man. So when we are allowing anger, bitterness, and unforgiveness to rule our heart, understand the Holy Spirit is inside of you grieving. It literally causes the Holy Spirit heaviness, sorrow, and grief. So grieve not the Holy Spirit, wherein we are sealed until the day of redemption. Now, here was a curious thing here. John the Baptist, I love talking about John the Baptist. John the Baptist suffered from being offended. One of the things that causes this threefold cord is the people who make us angry or bitter or cause us to feel strong unforgiveness, they have offended us. Now, John the Baptist, I love using him as an example because John the Baptist suffered from the offense because of his defense of the gospel. I'm going to say it again slowly. John the Baptist became offended because of his defense of the gospel and what it caused to happen to him. Sometimes, people of God, people will attack you, make you angry, cause you to feel bitter and hurt, and even feel unforgiveness because you did what was right, because you defended the gospel. Now, when we're going to look at Matthew chapter 11, verse 4 through 6. That's Matthew chapter 11, verse 4 through 6. Now, what happened was, y'all know John the Baptist, he was sort of like me and Sheila. He gonna preach the truth and make the government mad. He gonna preach the truth and make all kinds of folk mad. He just gonna tell it, make church folk, religious folk, amen, political folk just gonna make them mad. Why? Because he gonna say what Jesus said or what the gospel said. John the Baptist told Herod he could not have his brother's wife. Now that would have went over well around these days. And they got so mad, y'all know, the daughter danced the dance, and her mama convinced her to ask for John the Baptist's head. Herod got so excited, for his lust demon, because Wayne Willie used to see the girl dance the dance of the seven veils. I don't know whether that was true or not, but I know whatever dance she danced, it must have been pretty good to his lust demons, because he automatically, right before her mama, ran up that he'll give her a portion of his kingdom. Ask what you will. Now, that's pretty much a king excited by lust. And the mother whispered in her ear and said, ask for the head of John the Baptist. Now, John the Baptist had served God. He had baptized Jesus. He had watched Jesus grow in the ministry, his first cousin Jesus. He had watched Jesus grow in the ministry. And now, because of the truth, he's going to be now challenged. And here goes, I'll pick it up here. He's in prison. He's under the pressure all alone. And listen what he does. He sends his disciples to Jesus and says these words, are you the one we should look for, or should we look for another? You know what it was? You know what it is, Sheila? Under pressure, that pressure was on John the Baptist so bad that he began to question even his own prophetic word. There are times in life, people, I want y'all to hear this. There are times in life that you can be under so much pressure that you even wonder if God's word is even true, that you even wonder if the things that you felt led of God, let alone the scriptures, that you felt led that God said what happened in your life and happened in your family, you become offended because you live right and you did what was right. And here's what Jesus said unto him. Jesus said, when his disciples came to Jesus, Jesus answered them like this. Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. He said, the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor has the gospel preach to them. But watch this verse 6, Sheila. 11:6. Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. People of God, some of you that are listening at me, the anger and the bitterness and the unforgiveness that you're experiencing could very well be related to some disappointment in God that the gospel cost you. That's right. You can actually be saved, know the Lord, have been serving him faithfully, and become offended because the word of God costs you something. This word offense here, Sheila, is a Greek word called scandalon or scandalizo. And it actually means to trigger a trap. In other words, John the Baptist, because of his stance for the gospel, it caused him to start to doubt the prophetic word he gave. It offended him, and Jesus was warning, be very careful, people, that you find yourself dealing with the gospel, you can be offended. In the book of Galatians, it talks about, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you will be rewarded if you faint not. All of us out here listening to me, I'm talking to some of you preachers out here. I'm talking to some of you other strong radio leaders who are banging the course for Jesus. Be very careful of becoming offended because of the gospel that you're preaching, amen, and become bitter. Become angry and even hold unforgiveness. Why? Because of the attacks that are coming at you because of the gospel's sake. This word scandalon also means to entice to sin. This word scandalon, offense, offended, means you became entrapped or tripped up or even stumbled. I'm going to take my time again. The Greek word, he says, blessed is he who is not offended in me. That's scandalon, scandalizo, to trigger a trap, to be tripped up, to stumble, to cause apostasy, to entice to sin. You have to be very careful. There are some of us out here that we have prayed and lived right and fulfilled the gospel and stood up for the word and prayed for God for somebody to live, but they died. trusted and believed God that a prophetic thing would take place and you lost everything. And you, my friend, have become angry at God. And it's a little difficult because most of the time it's really hard to say, God, I'm mad with you. God, I'm bitter at you. Someone out here, you're listening to me. This is the word of the Lord to you right now. Amen. Address what you've got in your heart against how you felt that God failed you. At the end of the day, even, listen, Evelyn and I had our first child. The first baby we had named was Melissa. And I was a young man, and I longed for Melissa to live. But Sheila, Melissa died. And when Melissa died, me, a young preacher, I had been preaching the word. I had been standing on the word. And I remember walking from that hospital room thinking to myself, all the people that abort babies, all the people that do everything they can not to have a child, God, why did you kill my Melissa? And I became bitter at God, Sheila. I became angry at the Lord. And for a while, I made up my mind, I will not preach. I made up my mind, I will not hold a prayer line. I made up my mind, I'm angry at you, God. I'm bitter at you, God. I hold this against you. And for a while, Sheila, I boycotted God and wouldn't do a thing. But by his grace and his mercy, I remember reading about King David and his child. And in Scripture, David, in that word, it really came to me like an epiphany. I read the verse before. It said, David washed his face, put on his attire, took off the grave clothes, took off the mourning clothes, and went and proceeded out from the chamber and started walking like a king. And he kept on dealing. And one thing he said, and then when they asked him, David, how in the world can you, after all you prayed and fasted for that child to live, David, how come you changed your grave clothes? How come you brushed your face and took off the sackcloth and ashes? And David said, I can go to where the child is, but the child cannot return here to me. And David went on living his life that one day he would see his child. One day, Sheila, one day, Evelyn, we will see our Melissa. The spirit of my child, the spirit of our child is alive. And one day on the other side, I will look for Aviana, and I'll look for Ivory and Jackie, my children. I will look for my great-great-grandchildren. But when I rush up, I want to see God first. I want to see the Lord first. Amen. But I'll tell you, I'm going to look over one day and say, that's Melissa. I can tell glory be to God. That's my baby. One day I could. And you know what? I did not get peace in my heart, Sheila. I did not get the anointing flowing until I told God, I'm mad at you. I'm bitter at you. I'm angry at you because I felt you took my Melissa. But then I read in your word, God, that all souls were yours. So Heavenly Father, help me to live. Help me to walk. Help me to forgive you, God. Is anybody out there hearing me? Are you really, really listening? It's one thing to be angry, bitter, and full of unforgiveness toward a human being. And it's something else when you feel that toward the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator of all mankind. God healed me from that. I ask him, as you're listening to this broadcast right now, I ask the Holy Spirit to, in Jesus' name, to help you to be released from that kind of dynamics. Lord, help me. Help me, Lord God, to release the anger I got towards you. That's right. You're okay. You're listening at this. You're right on target. Listen to it. Lord, help me to let go of the bitterness and the unforgiveness. I ask this in Jesus' name. I need your help. Father, I confess that I am experiencing this and I feel it towards you. And I welcome your Holy Spirit to help me through it. In Jesus' name. But anyway, I'm just so glad the Holy Spirit had me to share that. What causes us to get to the places of bitterness, anger, and unforgiveness? Sometimes hard trials and temptations. Sometimes hard trials and temptation causes it. Sometimes isolation and burnout. You're so burnt out. You're so burnt out until you're sick and tired of everybody. You're sick and tired of church. You're sick and tired of Jesus. You're sick and tired of people. You're just sick and tired. Does anybody ever know what I'm talking about? You're burnt out and you're sick and you're totally tired. They can cause you your tolerance level, your patience level. And the enemy wants to get you to that place until you're burnt out so he can finish burning you right out. Also, church hurts and offenses that make you feel as if it's not worth it. That's right. You can get hurt in church, hurt in life, until you feel it's not worth me. Why should I resist anger? Why should I resist bitterness? Everybody else seems like they can hold unforgiveness and do just fine. Do you understand, people of God, that the first murder and the first death that happened on the planet of the earth was a brother who was angry and bitter and his own brother. The first death and murder, sibling rivalry, was based on anger and bitterness. Cain became bitter at God because he received Abel's sacrifice. That's the damage. That's the root of how deep that thing goes. Also, when you're dealing with church hurt, tell the Lord, that pastor, that church, that ministry. Now, how do you know you're real bound up when it comes to church for people and church ministry? Because they become the topic that's always at the top of your voice. They become the thing you always talk about. You don't just leave that church and go somewhere else. Sometimes it gets you so bitter, you swear to God you ain't going to nobody's church. I ain't going nowhere. I'm just going to sit home. I ain't going nowhere. Or you altogether get so full of unforgiveness, so full of anger, so full of bitterness that you say, I am not even thinking about it. I am not even going to read the word no more, because if that's the way it is, I'm done with church. People of God, allow the Holy Spirit to bring healing. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? It can open the door. Listen, it can open the door to sickness. Why? Because the enemy will use it to pull you down. Sometimes you can become bitter over financial and marital problems. Now, marriage is a place, amen, hallelujah, that there can be a lot of bitterness. You can actually live with a person and be so bitter and unforgiveness towards them that y'all are just living in the house. And then imagine wherein you want to meet. You want to not be alone, and you want a life, and you've kept your life as you're trying to live what the word says, and you still can't seem to find anyone. That also can be a place that can cause you to become bitter and angry. Then imagine watching someone act like a jerk. They got a good mate, and they're acting like a nut. They're just doing all kinds of crazy stuff. My dear friend, I still say to you, amen, you're going to still have to allow the Holy Spirit to work in those areas. It's not like, listen, I pray against strongholds that stops people to have the inability of being found. The Bible says this concerning a woman. It says, whosoever finds a wife finds a good thing and obtain favor of the Lord. If you are listening out there and you desire to have a mate and desire to be married, desire, amen, to have someone in your life treat you the way that Christ treated the church, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus. Lord God, first of all, Lord God, they're angry, they're hurt, Lord God, they're even bitter because they've waited a long time, they've served you, and everybody in the sun looks like they're getting relationships and throwing them away or doing all kinds of ungodly things to get one, and they're living right and walking right. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you that, Father God, help them with the anger, but Lord God, I break the stronghold that causes them to not be able to get a mate or causes them to repeatedly get the same kind of person in their life that damages them and wounds them. Lord God, I also ask you in Jesus' name, if there is a curse in their family line, curse in their generation of separation and divorce, or a curse wherein they're always a good friend, but never the woman or the man that they would have, I even pray against that. Sheila, I've seen those dynamics where someone will date a person, see them. I'm not talking about breaking scripture here. I'm not talking about, amen, somebody violating every Bible verse on the planet and expect God to bless it. But I'm talking about, amen, they will tell you you're a good person, you will hold up a standard, and then they'll turn around and marry somebody else. And when you talk to them, they say, you know, you're a good person. Well, listen, there are some sisters and brothers out of there that are tired of hearing how good a person they are. I'm tired of hearing someone say to them, now, it's not like you've done anything. Well, guess what? Lord, bring into their lives someone that will see them as a good thing. Lord, bring into their life, amen, a mate of a godly person, the one that obeys the word, that will see them as a catch. And Lord God will honor them in Jesus' name. But even at that, you really have to ask the Holy Spirit to help you from not becoming angry, bitter, and holding unforgiveness in your heart at God or life. Sometimes you can just feel that way about life. I'm bitter about life. I'm bitter because I've been alone. I'm bitter because I'm seeing everybody else look like they got somebody, and I keep going home by myself. I pray that the Holy Spirit heals you in the wounded area, and I pray also that he breaks that dynamic of that happening to you. Amen. But that is also errors. You know, when you're ministering messages like this, it gets into so many intimate areas of one's life. Amen? So, but I can tell you when you begin to know that bitterness and unforgiveness is operating strong, when you have a hard time letting incidents go. That's right. In other words, a situation happens in your life, you're angry over it, you're feeling yourself to becoming bitter, you know that unforgiveness has set in, and you have a hard time letting it go. When it dominates your thought life, also when it becomes all you're talking about. Did y'all know that Jonah hated the Ninevites so bad? He has such anger. Jonah has such anger and bitterness towards Nineveh that when God used his calling, Jonah had a prophetic calling that was off the hook. The man was powerful. God spoke to Jonah concerning Nineveh, that great city. The first thing Jonah did was he ran to Tarsus. He said, you know what? I am not going to preach to these people. Now, when I was in a seminary, they said that when you look at the history of Ninevites, they were cruel slave masters. They treated Jonah's people so cruelly that it carried in Jonah's heart a continuation of a hatred. It's almost like asking someone who had to live through the Holocaust or who saw their family members being killed in the Holocaust, put in the chambers. It's like asking them, you know, we want you to show these people some love. I want you to go there and preach to them and tell them that if they turn from their sin, I'm going to save them. I maintain to tell you that that would be a hard piece of gospel for any human being who watched their family die in concentration camps. Jonah had to go minister to Nineveh, the people that hated his people. And when Jonah did go, he preached a message to that city. Everybody got saved. Sheila, I have seen evangelists and ministers preach to people, and God calls them to minister to someone that in their heart they hate. God has a strange way sometimes. His thoughts are past our understanding. When God sent Jonah to Nineveh, Jonah didn't get it. He was saving both of them. He was not only saving the city of Nineveh, but he was also delivering his prophet. Sometimes in life, my dear friends, God will cause you to face your anger, face your bitterness, face your unforgiveness. He will cause you to be put in situations where he's trying both to deliver the one that put you through and deliver what is in you because they did it. That's what he did with Jonah. Jonah's bitterness and unforgiveness and anger was dealt with in Nineveh. And sometimes it's a hard time letting things go. Those, when you have that bitterness and unforgiveness in you, amen, I said it earlier, you have a hard time letting incidents go. It dominates your thought life. It becomes all you're talking about. Other people will look at you and say, you're still talking about that like it happened yesterday. Got that? When those who serve you see something is wrong and they try and want to tell you, but feel they can't. In other words, those who are around you says, you know what, I wonder if somebody should tell Ivory that the anger and bitterness that he got towards that person is in his preaching. You know, Sheila, I had an incident happen, sis, at my ministry years ago and what have you. I got angry at a young man that actually caused a split in my church. And the anger that I got towards him turned into bitterness. It turned into unforgiveness. I actually wanted to go to his house. Yes, I did. Yes, again, thank God for salvation. I wanted to go to his house and punch him in his face. My wife stood in front of the door and she said to me, oh, no. Yeah, she said, you might be angry, but you're not angry enough to push me out of the way. And I've never put my hands on my wife in any type of manner like that. And I remember sitting down at the kitchen table and just about ready to cry, Sheila. Well, guess what? I still didn't deal with it. So one Sunday morning, I love sharing this testimony. Now, during the time that this bitterness was getting stronger and stronger in me, and I was still preaching, I was doing some fantastic revivals. People were getting saved even though I was undelivered. Did y'all hear that? People were getting a breakthrough although I was bound. Like Jonah. Jonah went to Nineveh all bound up. Said what God's word said. God's word did to Nineveh what God's word said. But Jonah still had to have an encounter with God with his unforgiveness and his bitterness and his anger. Well, check this out. So, Sheila, I go that Sunday morning, and I'm preaching. And I thought it was a right fair message. And one of the sisters in the church, God bless Sister Francine. Now, she had been with me for years. This was the beginning when our church had started in deliverance. And I mean, we were doing like good. Well, ready for this, Sheila? Check this out. At the end of the service, I was greeting people and shaking hands and saying bye to everybody, hugging everybody I wasn't mad with. Y'all get the picture. And she said to me, she said, you know, Pastor? I said, yes, Sister Francine. Can I tell you something? I said, yeah, go ahead, sis. I said, what's on your mind? She said, Pastor, you taught me everything I know about deliverance. You taught me how the Holy Spirit works and how the gift of the Spirit works. I said, yeah. I said, so what is it? What is it, dear? She said, Pastor Ivory, you need deliverance. I have been with you a long time and heard you preach many messages. She said, Pastor, your messages are now manifesting your bitterness. You can hear it in your sermons. And I looked at her and I said, really? Now, I've had all kinds of leaders in the church and everything, but Sister Francine was one of them type of people that if they came to you and said, you know, you might want to check this out, they'll kind of make you stand still. Because they're not that. She wasn't a person to attack you. She wasn't a mean-spirited woman. She's very kind, very wise woman. She said, the incident that happened to you with Brother So-and-so, she said, Pastor, the bitterness is showing in your sermons. She said, I know that you need healing. Pastor, please get some deliverance. And Sheila, let me tell you what I did. I went to the ministers, and I called them together, and I said to them, I need to sit down for preaching for a while. Now, no, folks, I didn't quit the ministry. Don't go ridiculous, okay? I said, for a few weeks, I need to sit down, and I need to have some of you other leaders preach, and I need to sit down and get some healing. And they prayed for me. They carried me through deliverance, which was wonderful. But before they could cast anything out of me, I had to deal with something else that was in me. I had to deal with the witnesses of the Holy Spirit telling me, I believe you are bitter, just like she said. You are angry, just like she said. You are holding unforgiveness towards that brother, just like she said. And all I want to do is for you to welcome me in there. I can heal you from that. I can set you free. Well, Sheila, when I admitted to myself, when I came before the Father and called it what it was, I hate this brother because of what happened. I hate him because some of the people left my church. I hate him because of the split that took place. And when I took ownership of my anger, ownership of my unforgiveness, ownership of my bitterness, the Holy Spirit healed me. And yes, demons, I had demons cast out of me. Oh, my God. They cast out bitterness and unforgiveness. They also cast out control spirits. They also cast out, amen, strongholds. And what I mean by control spirits here, I'm glad y'all asked. A preacher definitely wants to be in control, operating in a control spirit, when he thinks that someone can't leave his church. Let me tell you something. You don't hold people in your church by your preaching. They have to be there because God sent them. And when God says it's time for them to go, then guess what? They will go where God is leading them, and they ain't going to lose the Holy Spirit, and they're not going to lose the anointing, so don't play that little game with me, because souls belong to God. And that's what that realization did. And God healed me, and I'll never forget this, Sheila. I was going into an appliance store, and as I was going in the store, there was this brother. Now, I had gotten deliverance, time and went by, and when I saw him, instead of me rolling my eyes at him, I had no reaction other than, oh, I am so glad to see him. And I walked over there to him, and we walked to each other. I guess he was wondering whether I was going to pass by him and not speak to him. And I went to him. I walked over to him, and I took him and hugged him around his neck. And he said to me, he said, Pastor, he said, I'm sorry we went through that. I said, Brother, I am too. And me and him talked, and to this day, me and him have no issue. I can tell you this much. Now, whatever happened, however it happened, I took my ownership of my own attitude. But I do know this much. I grew. I grew to such a degree that looking at it now, it's a testimony. It's a learning experience. What can happen to a deliverance preacher, one who knows about casting out demons, one who knows about anger and bitterness and retaliation. I know today what can happen to me if I don't guard my heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. Listen to me, people of God. Guard your heart. I can't say it enough. Guard your hearts. Look, as I'm getting ready to almost come to a conclusion here, Romans chapter 12, verse 19. Romans 12, 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine. I will recompense, saith the Lord. I will repay, saith the Lord. Now listen to me real good. When God says vengeance is his, he's not saying sit back and grieve and be all happy inside going, you know what, God's going to get him and I hope God ties him up. Nope. He's trying to tell you to let him handle people's lives. First of all, I say it like this sometimes, Sheila. Revenge is a God thing, and we don't understand it. If God ever got me back for everything in the world I've done, and there was no grace, and there was no mercy, and there was no forgiveness, I would be in a whole lot of trouble, Sheila. So would most of you listening at this. So would all of us. But God said, vengeance is mine. And this word here, vengeance, amen, it means that God himself has the justice. He said the violent passion and the justifiable punishment is mine to give. It's not yours. When it comes to vengeance, we don't own anyone. We don't own any life. God does. They are his soul. First of all, I'm going to tell you this about God. The people you're mad with and I'm mad with, God's trying to save them. The Bible says God's not willing that any man should perish, but that all should come to eternal life. Listen here. Wouldn't you like God to save the person you dislike? Or are you so bound that you would rather see them go to hell than repent and get right with God? My prayer to God is, Lord, deliver my heart, deliver my mind. Lord, I welcome the Holy Spirit into my life that I let go anger, let go bitterness, let go unforgiveness. Holy Spirit, help me to release it so that the tormentors will not use me as one of their tools. Vengeance belongs to God. Amen. And at this point, my dear friend, because I want to pray a prayer that for us to get a breakthrough against the spirits of anger, bitterness, and unforgiveness. People of God, let's get ready, amen, to take this journey of freedom from anger, bitterness, and unforgiving. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you now, Father. First of all, Father, according to your word, you, O Lord, forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. Father, in Jesus' name, we confess before you, Father, that we have held anger, bitterness, and unforgiveness towards certain people. Father, we've even held it towards you and even towards ourselves. Father, I ask in Jesus' name, first of all, Lord God, that I welcome the Holy Spirit into this area of my life that I have been trying to guard, protect, or defend. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you cover me by the blood of Jesus and forgive me, O God. Forgive me for allowing this to fester without welcoming your spirit in. Forgive me, Lord, for allowing this to dominate my personality to change who you created me to be. Father, in the name of Jesus, I repent and ask you to cover it by your blood. Now, Lord God, I repent of every action and every attitude that I have released in the lives of my generation. Not only myself, Lord, but I'm talking about the anger that I've allowed to spew in my family, my marriage, my workplace, my life, my church relationships. Forgive me, O God. Forgive me, Lord, when I've been angry at others because they weren't angry at who I'm angry with. I ask you to release me, God. That's selfish, Lord. Father, I ask you in Jesus' name to go into my heart by your Holy Spirit. And Lord God, help me to guard it once again. For you said, Father, for me to guard my heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issue of life. Father, in the name of Jesus, spirits of anger and bitterness and unforgiveness have gotten in our family. It has sown seed that is generationally long. It has caused strongholds across our marriage, our relationships, our family members. Father God, even trying to have a relationship, unforgiveness, anger, and bitterness has caused me to react in certain ways. Lord God, the names of certain situations and certain people already came up. Father, I ask in Jesus' name, Father God, that not only forgive my action, but also, Father God, I ask you to close the doors of access to every demonic power that have used these emotional wounds to cause me to be bound. That's right, Father. In other words, I command every demon of anger to go in Jesus' name. And spirits of bitterness and unforgiveness, I call you out by the power of the blood. In the name of Jesus, I command anger towards God. In Jesus' name, let me go now. I command those spirits that speaks in my mind and tell me God doesn't love you. God can't be trusted. God's not unreliable. God's against you. Father God, I command those spirits to go right now. Father, I command by the power of the blood of Jesus, hardness of heart. My heart has become hardened because of bitterness and unforgiveness and retaliation. By the power of the blood, I command demons of revenge and hardness of heart, go. I call out spirits of anger and rage and temper tantrum, go. I call out right now lack of compassion and Jesus, and go. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, hatred. I even can't stand people, can't stand the church, can't stand the preachers, can't stand the people I work with. God, loose me in the name of Jesus and set me free, God. In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, my heart has become hardened, that has become like stone, but by the power of the Holy Ghost, I command those devils that have caused me to be hardened, go, unforgiveness. It's like bringing it, go, feel some unforgiveness, go now, by the power of the blood of Jesus, come right now. I command anger, that's why right. Rage and anger, that's right, start right, but I command you to come out, I come out, Shako, go, in Jesus' name, Father God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I drive those devils right now, go, I release against you, gentleness, peace, goodness, faith, temperance, forbearing, forgiving one another, as Christ forgave the church, Lord God, I command right now those spirits to go, right now, I command anger and disappointment at children, family members who have failed you, who have caused them that you thought they would do better or be better, or you wanted a certain thing, and it did not happen, I command the anger and unforgiveness towards them to go, now, in Jesus' name, angry disappointments of life, anger because I didn't get married, anger because our relationship fell apart, anger because I got into the wrong relationship, go now, by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, I call you spirits, I run out in Jesus' name, come on, I have to quit and give up on God, I have to never have anything else to do with the church, I have to never have anything else to do with the word, I beg you, I command you to go now, in the name of Jesus, the inability to design relationship, that I look with the eyes of my hurt, of my wound, of my pain, of my bitterness, I command those spirits to go now, by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, Lord God, give me back, Lord God, my prayer life, my intercession, Lord God, give me back my worship, give me back my praise that was stolen out of anger and unforgiveness and bitterness, and by the power of the blood, I ask you to do it, oh God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I surrender this way, I yield, oh God, vengeance is yours, God, I've been doing mean and hateful things, God, and trying to make this person pay, I wanted them to pay for what they did, I wanted them to hurt like Jonah, when it never would hurt, in Jesus' name, I surrender the Kapuna, I surrender to you, God, and I command those devils to flee, get out of there now in the name of Jesus. Get out of my mind, confusion, and every evil work, for you said in your word, God, that where there's envy and strife, blowing that light out of just the truth, that where they are, there's bitterness and evil and confusion, and every evil confusion, go. Spirits of confusion, go. Inability to design and have relationships, go. Inability to want to deal with, fool with, or be around people, go. I command it by the power of the blood. Come out of there now. In Jesus' name. Come on, out of the by the power of the blood. I command you to loose them. Father God, in Jesus' name, bring them back to their right spiritual position where they will now not be ruled by that. Yes, we've been hurt. Yes, we've been betrayed. Yes, we've gone through these experiences. But God, I want my freedom. I want my liberty. I want to be able to say, yes, I had that experience, but the experience no longer has me. In the name of Jesus, we command liberty there. And by the power of the blood of Jesus, by you welcoming and you into that area, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I possess, operate, live, and walk in my freedom. And every demon that will try to bring that back, try to rekindle it, restore it, or cause it to be refired in my mind, no, I say, Jesus, I refuse to live in the past. Yes, what happened to me in the past did happen, but by the power of the blood, I have a new future. The Bible says, 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man or woman be in Christ, they are a new creature. All things have passed away, and all things have become new. Father God, I ask you to give me newness of spirit, newness of life, and I give you praise and glory. Now, in Jesus' name, Holy Spirit, I welcome the fruit of the Spirit. I welcome the cleansing of the blood. I welcome the renewed mind through the word. In Jesus' name, amen. And Lord God, before I close out, we release in them, Father God, the restoration and the readjustment of their spirit man according to the word. Restoration and readjustment of their spirit man according to the word. Father God, we release in them, Father God, in Jesus' name, a renewed spirit and a renewed mind, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father God, we ask, Father God, for the fullness of your spirit, the fullness of your word, the joy of the Lord. Father God, we release the seven manifestations of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord, might and power and counsel. We release the anointing and the grace of God to bring full restoration, full healing, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Once again, Sheila, it has been a pleasure to be on your broadcast, my sister.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Ivory Hopkins. That was so powerful. Folks, that was Ivory Hopkins. You can just call him the General. Listen, check out his website, pilgrimsministry.org. There is DVDs, there's books, there's deliverance training, teaching, his conference schedule. There's also Skype deliverance for personal one-on-one sessions. His vacation starts right now until July 5th, but When he's back from vacation, hey, he'll do a phone or Skype deliverance session, biblical counseling sessions. I'm going to tell you what, this man, he's a powerhouse. And if you need one-on-one stuff, shoot him a quick email. He'll get in touch with you. The contact information is there as well. We are out of time, and I thank you so much for tuning in to this very powerful teaching today. We will see you next week. I love you all. Good night, and God bless.